Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marshawn, the long back, they give it to him again off the right side. Von Miller comes slanting down. He's able to trip him up, and Marshawn with a good run. Now there's a fight over on the Broncos sideline. Michael Crabtree is fighting with Aqib Talib. Aqib Talib, I think, went at Michael Crabtree. It's a brawl over on the Broncos sideline, and they are really going at it. They are throwing punches here. Multiple guys are swinging. I think Aqib Talib went at Michael Crabtree to defend Chris Harris Jr., something he did last year in a game. And officials also
and now they're still going after Michael Crabtree.
Crabtree with
now
his
they're going after
off,
Crabtree.
Is fighting Aqib Talib. Crabtree's got his helmet off. They're all going to be ejected, Tom.
Right.
They're all going to be kicked out. Crabtree throwing punches, going after Talib. This has become a street fight. What is going on?
So that was Greg Papa, play-by-play man for the Oakland Raiders, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders.
He's related to Bob Papa, right? He's got to be. It's his brother, I think.
Do not know.
Bob Papa, who does the New York Giants broadcast.
I don't know.
You know his call. I mean, we all remember the Raider calls. Touchdown, Raiders!
Fantastic call.
What a call there. I mean, I would have loved to...
No relation.
Good job, Sarge.
Switch it up.
Thank you so much.
You would think just two guys doing the same play-by-play that with the last name Papa would be related.
Yeah, the NFL.
Sure, right. Like the Bucks, Joe Buck and his... You know,
yeah, Kenny
his
and Marv Albert.
Right?
Yep.
Very good.
Tuesday it was announced that Brent Musburger is taking over radio play-by-play duties from Greg Papa.
Amazing. You know what? And I asked this in all seriousness. I wonder if there's any friction with Gruden going back to the Raiders that he had with the play-by-play team. Because Tom Flores is also on that team, who is also being replaced.
Well, let's think about
that. Tom Flores, former coach, won a Super Bowl back in the day. Like, I don't think Gruden would have that type of pull. Say, you know what? I'm coming back. Get rid of those guys.
Does Bill Belichick have any say in you and Bob Soucy? You and Bob Soucy being in the booth?
He would put Bob on a pedestal there because Bob worked Navy football for 16 years.
Did he have?
He probably played lacrosse.
Did he have anything to do with Bob Soucy?
Nothing.
Getting that job?
Nothing. Okay. I think he may. Yeah, that's a good question.
He went from nothing to maybe. Hey, that good question.
If I'm Bob Soucy and I'm applying for that job, and I'm putting together a resume, and I haven't ever talked to Bob about this. Bob got the gig on his own because he's damn good at what he does, and he had a hell of a tape that he sent in, and all the stuff that he did prior to it. Obviously, doing Navy football, it's amazing. We worked in that same press box for 6 years. Bob did radio for Navy for 16 years. I did TV for 6, and I never met him or saw him because we were on different floors, like 4-floor difference. Yeah, but
So maybe
if I'm Bob, I'd say, hey, Bill, I'm being a Navy guy, maybe you could put in a good word for me.
Sure, why not? Why not? If you really want the gig. Greg Papa out, Brent Musburger in. That also means now we find out that Tom Flores is out too.
Who had an outstanding commentary right there on the Aqib Talib fight. You could hear him go, ooh, ooh.
Should we listen to that first, Jim? Or do you want to hear Greg Papa and the snowball call? You tell us. Which order should we go?
Well, we got to listen to the Derek Carr injury.
Okay, let's listen to
that
Derek Carr injury.
The best radio call we had all football season.
Wow.
Two tight ends, 12 personnel. Lone back is Lynch. They're going to play action to Marshawn. Roll Derek right. Cox does not throw, and he gets hit a couple of times. Finally goes down. They roll over him. Clever design there, Tom. They play
Derek's
action.
Down. Derek's down.
Derek is down and not getting up. Derek is down. Derek got hit a couple of times on that play, and he's flat on his back. Oh, man.
His eyes are closed.
Well, his leg kind of buckled down. Hard to tell if he got a leg. He's grabbing his back.
Yeah, the way he was twisted at the end there.
Well, I mean, it's like Dan Lifshitz. I'm going to be doing all Raiders broadcasts moving forward. From this point on, I won't be on the gambling broadcast anymore. But I will apply to be a handler since they are going to Vegas to be a perfect spot for me. But Tom Flores right there with it. His eyes are closed.
His eyes are closed.
It's Grizzly Adams from the upper deck, the top rope, Sarge.
It sounds as if Tom Flores was napping. And when there was a lot of commotion there in the stadium due to the injury, he kind of woke up and...
Thank God for Lincoln Kennedy. Hey, guys, Derek's down.
Eyes are closed. Derek's down.
And he's flat on his back. Oh, man.
His eyes are closed.
I'm sitting here watching the monitor, and all I can see is his eyes are closed.
Now, two things here. This sucks for anybody who ages out.
It's like a bad country song, really. And like he's the singer. You know, like Johnny Cash. They all got that little delivery there.
Hello. I'm Tom Flores.
Yeah, his eyes are closed.
He sounds a little bit like old Joe West. Hey there, Billy. You ever lick an umpire? You ever been in an airplane cockpit?
I said, how old are you, son? Said, I'm 14.
Said, I'm 14, Billy. But his eyes are closed. Just close your eyes, Billy.
His eyes are closed.
Oh, man.
Tom Flores.
Gosh, I am Greg Papa, and I'm from Wisconsin.
I don't know how old Greg Papa is. Tom Flores, 81 years old.
His eyes will be closed soon too. But
man. I mean, you want to be calling games when you're 81?
Papa's 55.
I told my wife this when I first started doing it. I just turned 50. Luckily for me, finished my 6th year calling games. 6 straight AFC championships, by the way. 3 Super Bowls. So very lucky, blessed.
You had a lot to do with that.
And when I first started doing this at the age of 44, told my wife, and I said, when we eventually took over for Gil and Gino, the great Gil Santos, God rest his soul, and Gino Capoletti, legends. At the end, when they were done, I think it was 78, and I think one was pushing 79.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if I'm over 70 doing this, you take me out in the backwoods there. I got 2 bullets in my drawer, in the bottom drawer, put them in the gun, and just put me.
So you want your wife to kill you?
No, I'm just like, I don't know.
That's what I heard.
There's so many different trends in this business because Merrill Reese, who we talked to Super Bowl week, and we were so happy that Merrill got to finally call a potential Super Bowl winning game, which he did. And we were happy for Merrill and company, but Merrill won't be doing it forever. There's a lot of young guys in this business.
Greg Papa, 55. That's young. That's young by any standard in any business these
days. Here's what do you think that guy? Hey, Jim, good play that. Oh, man, gosh, it sounds like Bob Lamy. Remember the Colts? Come on, Peyton Manning. Those guys sound like they're 80.
Oh, man.
His eyes are closed.
Now, does that guy sound like he's 5 years older than me? Yeah, man.
He does sound old.
Thank you. You sound like you're 65.
Thanks.
So here we go.
Gino was 78 when he retired, and Gil was 74.
74.
And Brent Musburger, how old is Brent Musburger?
He's 76.
79.
Shut
79.
Up. So you're they're going older. You they're can't, going 30 years older.
You can't claim
name.
Ageism.
Wow.
You can't claim ageism.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not like they're hiring Creed from The Office.
Well, they want,
right.
they
hey,
want
Bob,
a new
want
broadcast.
Get some Red Bull in there.
He just turned 79 in May.
The other thing I want to get to before we get to the Sharks here, Zoe.
I'm telling you, this is the year.
Oh, by the way, we got to listen to Snowball call first.
Yeah. Oh, the infamous call.
The Snowball.
Brady out of the shotgun again. 3 receivers right, 1 left. He has Redmond to his left out of the gun. 1st and 10. Woodson showing blitz. Woodson comes. Here he is bearing down on Brady. Oh, calls the football. Beacon dives on the ball. The Raiders have the ball. The Raiders take over as Charles Woodson came on a corner blitz, and he rocked his former Michigan teammate, the guy who lockered only 2 stalls away from him in Ann Arbor, and knocked the ball away. And Greg Beaker dives on it.
Beaker.
And the Raiders take over at midfield. The Patriots are out of timeouts. The Raiders are 1:43 away from going back to the AFC Championship game.
The play is going to be reviewed, though, Greg.
Why?
You know, it's upstairs. Upstairs is going to review it, whether it was a fumble or not, I guess.
Is going into the monitor booth. Here it is. Brady's back to pass. And
that's a fumble.
Now, the crowd's reacted because he pumped. But that's a fumble. That is a fumble, and Beaker recovered. They're all reacting here. They're showing it on their diamond vision here. Brady pumps. He does bring it forward, but that's not to pass the ball. And then I think he comes to a stop, and then Woodson hits him. This will be a fumble. The Raiders will take the ball, in my opinion, Tom.
Yeah, it's not that he didn't. He pumped it. He was pulling the ball back. He was not going to throw the ball. He was pulling it back, and then Woodson hit him, and it came out.
This will decide the football game.
Boy, Coleman, the quarterback's arm was going forward, and it's an
overturn this. Walt Coleman is going to overturn this.
I don't believe that.
Oh, man, what a call that is.
147 on the clock. 147.
We got to get a rule book out. I don't think it's enough just for the arm to be coming forward. It has to be coming forward in a passing motion. He's not looking to pass that ball.
Nope.
How could he look at that play and say he's passing the ball? He's completely flat-footed. He was pumping the ball, and it was almost to a stop.
He was bringing it back. You're right.
I don't believe this call is accurate. But this has just turned the whole game around.
2001, right? Where Stadium were, music was so much better than
January 02.
Where they
were
got
you,
it. You
where
got
were you
it.
Watching that game, though?
I was in the corner where Al, not Al Day, but Will McDonough got in a fight with, was it Matt Millen he got in a fight with the Raiders? Will McDonough, and he got in a fight with somebody down there. Forget who the hell. But I was in the, not the tunnel that we used to come out, because I was doing TV at the time. And I remember how surreal it was, because I was pissed because the snowflakes were so big. And it was sticking to my hair that was perfectly coiffed. And I was getting ready for a fifth quarter. And we saw it on the monitor. And I'm like, it's a fumble. What are they doing? It's a fumble.
Was it a fumble?
It's a fumble. I'll watch that play.
Jim,
you
was
sit here.
Jim, was it a fumble?
You could,
section 3, you row pull, 21, yep. Seat 18.
Fumble.
My season tickets, sitting in that seat. As soon as he said the arm was moving forward, I don't know what happened after that. That was, everyone just went delirious when he said the arm was.
You got
forward.
Hammered after that.
Since then, Jim, was it a fumble?
No, it was a technicality. It was a rule. I got to say, my one friend.
I'm a football guy. It's
my one
fumble.
Friend knew the rule because Fantasy Football Championship game, like weeks earlier.
Please.
It happened to Kurt fumble. Warner in a Monday night game. Like they were playing, the came down to Monday Night Football for the Fantasy Football Super Bowl. And he said, no. That was a rule. I saw that happen in the Monday night game with Kurt Warner.
Talked to Brady about it. He's throwing a curl backside. It was covered. He recoiled the ball. He was going to throw it. And he went the and it was Woodson on the blitz from the right, and he got him. It's fumble.
How different does
it's not a tuck rule.
Does
tuck
Flores
roll.
Sound on that call, though? Is that Flores doing the color commentary?
Eyes were open.
He sounds like a different person from.
Yeah, his eyes were closed.
That is an amazing call. Those guys, what a team.
I tell you what, I give them credit.
Call.
Because they held themselves together very well after that, because I would be losing my mind.
We could do an entire...
I've lost my mind on less calls than that.
We can do
that's
an entire
good,
show.
A good teaching lesson for me.
We can do an entire show on what life would have been like since that day in New England had they upheld the call. You could do an entire show. You could do a week's worth of shows on that.
Do years of it.
All right, not years.
Yes, you could.
I'll have Sarge.
Ray Lewis is going to have a hell of a speech for the Hall of Fame induction. I don't know if there's a lot to talk about it other than the fact that Joe Flacco says he meant everything he was saying in the locker room, but I don't know what he was talking about 90% of the time. We can look forward to more of that, but we got to talk about Sharks next. That's what we need to talk about. Sharks are next. We're not going to put it off any longer, though. Your shark attack stories happen next.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, Bill and Sade, it's been about 70 years since the last recorded shark attack in New York. So two possible attacks just hours apart, that's rare.
It wasn't sharp. It was kind of just a shock feeling. Because it was really quick. It was like 1 second. It went like that, and then it just let go immediately.
13-year-old Matthew Donaldson was boogie boarding off Fire Island when it happened. This is his leg after being apparently bit by a shark. And this is the tooth EMTs pulled out of him.
It was small, so it looked like it was from a baby shark or something like that. And it was a sharp tooth. It was actually fairly sharp.
He was able to walk himself to an ambulance, but he needed help getting to shore. From lifeguard Bella Cohen.
It's just crazy. Like, it's incredible. There's never been a shark attack on Fire Island. All the older guys, they've never seen this.
Mark this date. This happened yesterday, so we're going to go with 18 July, 2018.
Southern shore of Long Island.
I'll tell you why in a moment.
Southern shore of Long Island, two separate shark attacks on the same day, totally unrelated, miles apart.
Were they?
Around the same time.
Were they?
It's interesting, though. You know, it's not a big death. It's just a baby shark, right, that they pulled the tooth? Where'd a baby shark come from? Big mama shark. Baby shark's there. You look at whales and you watch whales and the way they swim, now that I'm a whale expert.
You are.
There's always a little calf next to the mother whale. They swim in pods.
Sharks
watch the way killer whales hunt. Watch the way they teach their young to hunt.
Sharks.
If there's a baby shark, it means there's a big one by. Okay.
Sharks and whales are related in that regard.
Because same sea creatures.
See, I go along with a buddy of mine, Matt Hooper, from the Oceanographic Institute, and his theory is territoriality. This Correct. Is a rogue shark, right? And he's gonna go off on his own, and he's gonna go where the feeding is good until the feeding dries up, and then he goes somewhere else. He's called a rogue.
Yeah. See, I've had this discussion with my buddy down at Woods Hole, and I'm like, you know, we're down there by the Cape Cod Canal, and they're like, there's never been a shark that comes through. The great whites don't come through there. He goes, we've tagged one that's come through. Mm-hmm. They're there. They go through. He goes, how do you think they get back and forth base? What do you think? They're that dumb that they're just going to swim, you know, all the way around the tip of Provincetown?
Oh, no, they're there.
No, they go with current. They go with water temperature. They go where the bait is.
Two children, our children.
Their kids.
Have been bitten yesterday.
Well, it only happened real quick. It's all it takes, bro.
Water's
one off. Quick bite on the wrong artery, and we got issues.
Investigators now believe they were shark attacks. Attacked.
Sorry, Larry. Those beaches will be closed.
12-year-old was bitten in Sailor's Haven Beach at 11:15 in the morning. She was waiting just offshore.
Yeah. 95% of shark attacks happen in 3 feet of water or less.
We have a public affairs specialist who spoke on the matter. We're going to hear from her now.
Oh, female scomal. Oh, nice.
No.
Jim, who's this we're going to hear from?
It's a public affairs specialist.
So a public affairs specialist from Long Island?
Town supervisor Angie Carpenter from Islip.
Angie Carpenter.
Town supervisor, no, public
non-job
affairs.
Non-job related. She's not
Same
a carpenter.
Thing. All grown-up jobs, whatever, words. Let's hear them.
Today, one of our young campers was on a boogie board.
Camper.
A wave knocked him off, and he actually got bit. He walked out of the water. They immediately brought him over to the tent and started taking care of him, dressing the wound. And they were able to treat him, contact the Marine Bureau, Suffolk County Marine Bureau, who transported the young boy off the beach. Again, he walked onto the boat, walked off the boat. So he is in good condition, certainly being taken care of. There was another incident at Sailor's Haven.
Jesus.
A young lady. The boy that was in our camp was 13. The young lady at Sailor's Haven was 12.
Oh,
but
God.
Both of these young kids, thank God, are okay. And we're seeing this
weren't?
As an opportunity to remind everyone the water is beautiful. Oh. It is magnificent.
Thanks,
here
Larry.
On the south shore of Long Island.
Come back to Amity Island.
The water can be treacherous, so you need to be careful at all times.
Tomorrow is the 4th of July, and those beaches will be open.
Oh, it's going to be one.
And as you know, Amity means family.
Friendship.
Friendship. can we go back to the beginning of that? The young boy?
Yeah.
Wait, how can you skip by the end of it when she says, no, it's beautiful, but the water's treacherous. Don't worry about the sharks. The water's treacherous.
What does that mean?
It means that more people drown every
current.
Day
She's talking
than,
about
are,
current.
Than are bitten by sharks
Explain it then.
Every year. That's
See,
what
you
means.
Say it's treacherous. She goes by treacherous. Average Joe Dumb Doe is thinking, oh, my God, they are shark-infested waters. You tell me it's treacherous. You didn't tell me how it's treacherous. We have people that we bring, you know, ashore and put in first aid tents because of our currents. Our currents are more inclined to pose physical harm to the body than an actual shark. Well, no. Poor little Jimmy, you know what he did that day? Mom and Dad dropped him off at camp. Bring your boogie board, because you will look more like a seal to that shark underneath. You understand the boy that got bit? He was on a boogie board. He looked like a seal from the underneath when a shark's looking up.
You can swim out of a rip current. You can't swim out of a shark.
He?
Well, they did.
Was
Both
at
of
camp.
Them did.
That's I wonder true. If that family will be sending their kids back to that camp.
Before you play.
Probably
you,
not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Before you play into
camp.
The hysteria, Jim, let's remember more people die because of rip currents probably every day than people die due to shark attacks every year.
And we're seeing this as an opportunity to remind everyone the water is beautiful.
Water.
It is magnificent here on the south shore of Long Island. But the water can be treacherous, so you need to be careful at all times.
It's New York and it's Philadelphia. Water. It's
water.
Not water,
water.
It's water. The water is treacherous.
And remember, Massapequa means buy them all.
Yes. Jones Beach means happy people.
That's Seinfeld. Listen to me. I told you to mark this date. You want to know why?
I want to know why. This is the day Zoe said, and Zoe called it.
I'm going to tell you. 102 years ago began the 12 Days of Terror.
Where at?
This is a true story. Jersey Shore.
Oh, that's right. I've read on this.
1916.
How many attacks?
Books. There's two books.
Okay.
I've read them both.
This is good.
You think you're obsessed with sharks?
Yeah.
Two books I've read. One's called 12 Days of Terror. The other one's called Close to Shore. This was a relatively new phenomenon, swimming for recreation, swimming for pleasure.
Sure.
People going out and swimming in the ocean. They were seen almost as adrenaline junkies at the time, people who would do this sort of thing. A couple of people got bit by sharks.
Yep.
Over the course of a couple of days, one guy was swimming out away from a hotel. He got bit by a shark. Back to right, dies. Right? Another person gets bitten. Like, oh, what's going on? So, a few days later, some boys swimming in a creek, Matawan Creek, way inland, fresh water. Little boys swimming, jumping in the old swimming hole. Shark grabs and pulls them down. They run to the nearest building. They're like, little Tommy just got bit by a shark and dragged him down the bottom of the creek. Young, strapping, 20-something-year-old, new tailor in town, he goes, I'll go save him, jumps in the water. Shark kills him, too. They think it was the same shark. They caught a shark days later, found 15 pounds of undigested human flesh in that shark's digestive tract.
That's multiple attacks. That's not just a bite and release.
They believe it. What you talk about, a rogue shark.
Bite reflex, right.
This shark was attacking in the ocean. He was attacking close to the beach.
Mutant shark.
He
was attacking a shark that can deal with clear water going over its gills.
He was attacking in a freshwater creek where kids were swimming in their local swimming hole. 12 days of terror. 5 people killed, 1 seriously injured over the course of 12 days, 102 years ago. Are we starting a new 12 days of terror?
I don't know. But folks, if you're looking for some new summer reading for your teenagers, there you go. 12 days of terror. As you sit on the beach at Monomoy and stare at the water because you can't go in. But don't worry. Keep protecting those seals. It's good for the ecosystem.
Sarge?
It's the year of the shark, folks. I'm telling you. This is it.
Time
the summer.
You, time for you to do the headlines.
Summer of death.
If you dare.
Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics made it official, signing Marcus Smart to a contract extension. Yahoo Sports reporting the deal worth $52 million on a 4-year contract. He is 24 years old, ranked in the top 25 in defensive deflections per game last season. They'll have a press conference later today, making that deal official at 4 o'clock. At the Open Championship, Kevin Kisner is your clubhouse leader at 5 under par. Tony Finau, one shot off the lead. Rory McIlroy finished the day 2 under. Tiger Woods right now through 11. He is 2 under par. Phil Mickelson, he finished the day 2 over. Revolution will be back to work on Saturday night when they take on the New York Red Bulls on the road. Last night, they fell at Minnesota FC 2-1. Diego Fagundes with his 7th goal of the year. There was a trade today in Major League Baseball. The Padres sending closer Brad Hand to the Cleveland Indians for a prospect. That according to Ken Rosenthal. And the Red Sox back to work tomorrow night when they take on the Tigers from Detroit. David Price will get the start, first game back after the All-Star break. Headlines are brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Host your next event at Apex Entertainment Center. 80,000 square feet of pure fun. ApexEntertainmentCenter.com. I'm Mike Riley on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Without Solak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Solak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Solak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle.
Yeah.
We got fake promos coming up today, a day early, because no one's here tomorrow. You're out.
I'm out.
Just day off.
Day off. Jim's out. Tom is off.
Beetle's off all week.
You're doing a morning show.
I'm doing the morning show with Michael Hurley. I don't know. I don't
it's
know
a good show.
Is 4 hours on Goodell?
I don't know.
That's a sneaky good show.
That's how Michael this morning. He was sitting there. I didn't even know I was sitting next to him for 5 minutes. Because we're so used to coming in here because, as everybody now knows, we are going on simulcast starting on Monday on NBC Sports.
We should talk about that.
Let's do it now.
All right. And then we'll take some calls.
Fake promos coming up. The show ends quickly. But it's been in the works for a while now. We've all talked about it. We're not changing anything. We're doing our show. But the show always made fun of what was on during our time because it was always flex tape or some pressure cooker oven. And I understand you need to make money and that's you sell ads. But there's times we wish our show was on TV. Because there's things we do in studio that we can't describe on air that would really be great if we were on TV, like right now. And NBC Sports Boston has done a good job with this. They have an outstanding new logo. We love the logo, except there's name missing. We just need the right little, like,
and Hardy
and script.
I did the modified logo. I put it up on Twitter earlier
love
today.
It.
They'll probably go with them. They'll probably go with my modified one.
I would think so. I would think so. But the studios are awesome. The equipment's awesome. I think it's a great look on TV. If you could see it, Felger and Maz obviously are already on simulcast, so it's pretty much the same setup.
It's going to be the same setup, and
we're just going to do our thing.
We are very happy. They did a great job with Toucher and Rich. Toucher and Rich did their time on TV. They enjoyed it. They had nothing but good things to say about Josh Fowler and the entire crew. And I've said this before, working with NBC Sports Boston, when I'm in there doing either Boston Sports Tonight or just filling in whatever, right. It is a fantastic crew, rivaled only by the crew we have here at the Sports Hub and our producers. And the things they do for our radio show here, everybody from Jim and Tom and all the producers on the shows and all the producers on the TV side, they make it listenable and watchable. And I have no doubt they'll do the same thing for the midday show. And, you know, it's going to be great. So we're very happy and looking forward to Monday.
Yeah, it changes nothing. You listen to us on the radio and just pound that app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. If you're in your cubicle, if you're out, you know, you got your smartphone, all that. That's all you want to do.
Well, so. It's like you said, it's been talked about for a while.
Sarge has got a face to TV, so when he's coming in, subbing in.
Well, even during the rundown there, I did look into the camera and the headlines. So the trademark continues, kids.
And the ladies will be very excited.
Yeah.
You'll get a chance to do it filming in for me until you get banned from this show, too. I think, have you?
I'm banned from any show.
Fred banned you, I thought.
Fred loves me.
I thought you got banned from the morning show.
No, I was with Fred all week, like last week.
Okay. I think
Fred's got a man crush on me.
But I think Fred had a choice. He wouldn't want you on.
No, Fred wants me.
Fred was told, I think, last week he had no choice.
No,
we were
Fred
really
wants
down
me.
To the bone, bare bones.
You're wrong, though.
Okay.
Wrong again.
Let's grab a couple of calls here. We'll go to Al in Rhode Island. He's got a Greg Papa story. Greg Papa, play-by-play guy from the Oakland Raiders. Brent Musburger is taking his job. But you have a Greg Papa story, Al?
I do, guys. So I was living out in the Bay Area during the Tuck game, and Papa had his radio show the next day. I think it was KMBR. And he was just lamenting and going crazy about the call and everything. And it was just one, woe is us, Raider call after another. So I call up. And I'm like, Greg, I go, this might be one of the roughest days in Raider history. He's like, yeah, Al. I go, but I got to tell you, Greg, I go, I was watching that game with Kurt Warner earlier in the year, and once they went to review, I go, I knew they were going to turn that call over. I go, and it was a correct call. And I go, Brady brought them down, and then Vinatieri made that kick, and the Patriots are moving on. And he lost it. He's like, Al, that was the right call. He's like, I want you to tell Rich Gannon that was the right call. I want you to tell Lincoln Kennedy it was the right call. You tell Jerry Rice that was the right call. I'm like, sure, Greg, no problem. I'll tell him tomorrow when I see him out on the golf course because that's where they'll be while the Patriots are moving on.
Oh,
he lost
waka,
it.
Waka, waka.
Wow, that's pretty good.
You know, it's been great. I literally pee my pants in the car when I hear it. But when Jim Murray's been doing – the Happy Walters. Hey, hello, I'm Happy Walters. But you see it on the simulcast, him with the slide whistle.
Yes.
And it's freaking hysterical. It's better than his Price stuff. It is. The Happy Walters character. Oh, we got a new offer in from the Celtics.
What does that have to do with the Greg Papa, though?
He was telling a joke.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Kind of like, okay. Waka waka.
You going to bring props in, though? Hey, you going to bring props in?
No, he's not.
Why should I bring props in?
I'll answer that for him.
That's his job. He's the prop guy.
What am I, Carrot Top?
Like you said, no. Yeah. What do you got? What do you got there?
Tom in Worcester has a shark story. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Tommy.
Howdy, other guy. How you doing?
What's up? Other guy's fine.
Sorry. Joe, we've met a couple times. I know that I'm type 1 diabetic.
Yep.
So it was a day not too long ago. I was driving along, and my blood sugar got down to about 38. And I went into the glove box looking for my Mike and Ike's, and someone had stolen them. So I stopped at Dunkin' Donuts, and I got the Shock Bite Donut, and I think it might have saved my life.
Okay.
There's such a thing, a Shark Bite Donut?
Oh, it's delicious.
Is that your shark story?
some little tiny candy sharks on it. Yeah, that's my shark story.
Shark okay. Awesome. Shark bites at Dunkin' Donuts.
I hung up on
Interesting. You just hung up on a cop.
That's not a shark story.
That's kind of if it's a shark bite.
Do you have a shark story? You seen a shark?
Unfortunately, I've never seen a shark.
Oh, my God. I have two.
You have? Big ones are like the not real ones. Like a little blue shark.
I'll do them in reverse order.
Okay.
First one was two Septembers ago. Emerald Isle, North Carolina. Out there swimming in the beach all day is beautiful. It's great. Kids in the water, we're in the water, all this. About 5 o'clock, everybody goes in, starts getting cleaned up for dinner.
That's when I come out.
Brother-in-law.
Dinner time.
His uncle, they're down there fishing. And my sister's boyfriend, who is another marine biologist. Yep. We know more.
They're the ones that, if we could just give you any advice, you don't swim when you wake up in the morning. Yep. You don't swim after the sun goes.
Now, this guy's a world-renowned tuna expert, but he knows about all things in the ocean, right? Andre, I don't even know his last name.
Ryzen?
Andre says, hey, Rob, because the family calls him Rob. He goes, you were talking about sharks earlier? There they are. Please. And they're out there in the surf, right where we had been swimming a half an hour beforehand. I'm like, where'd they come from? And he said, they were always there. They're just not interested.
Right.
But now that you know, we're fishing out here and there's some chum in the water.
And now they're starting to look for food.
And now it's their feeding time.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. And I said, what kind are they? He said, from shore, there's only two kinds of sharks, hammerheads and not hammerheads. Those are not hammerheads. I'm like, what? He goes, you can't tell. He goes, probably bull sharks. Might be a lemon shark. I don't know. The only thing you can really see
bull
is whether it's a hammerhead.
Hey, you don't want
hammerhead or not, those aren't hammerheads.
Bull sharks are bad news, man.
But the other times, though, walking the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco.
Oh, really? So you look down, you see them moving.
And I saw a big shark of some kind.
Jesus.
Kind of roll over as it kind of went up toward the water and breached.
Sure, it wasn't a whale?
Came back down. It was not a well or a whale. It was a shark. Okay. This was no boating accident.
Now,
it was a shark.
My marine biologist buddy, who lives on the same street as us down there, he has a 23-foot Wahoo, which is a boat, a center console boat with a single engine on the back. And he takes it all around. He keeps it right out front of the house. So there was a year this great white got caught inside a little channel in Woods Hole. And I don't think it was Hadley Harbor, but it was another little small harbor.
Oh.
And it couldn't get out because of the tide.
Nice. Hadley Harbor.
So his boat was able to get inside. He took it down there to go check the shark out, and they were doing some studies on it. And I said, I'd love to see it. Because I'd love to see a great white. That's one thing I want to see. But I don't want to get anywhere near it. I want to see it, you know, from my boat.
Like a tornado. You want to see it, but you don't want to see it.
You could not have been on my boat when you saw this. And his boat's pretty wide. It's like 6-7 feet wide. He said, I was near it, on top of it. He said, my boat's pretty wide. He said, the girth on the shark of these great whites is wider than my boat. He said, it's not the length or the fin that freaks you out when you actually get near them or see them.
The thickness.
It's the girth.
The girth.
The width.
All right.
To understand the type of jaws that are attached to the front of that width.
T-Bone, is this a real shark story or not?
I'll take it.
I don't want a half-assed shark candy
story. One. Give me one.
Is it a real shark story?
Give me it. It's the year of the shark.
Eric in Wilmington. Yes,
Eric.
Or no?
Go.
All right, we're going to do it. Eric, go.
Yes, I'm here.
Go.
So, I'm talking. So, I used to live out in Bondi Beach in Australia, and the lifeguards out there used to say that the sharks would actually hang out at the end of the riptide because that's where people would get tired, and that's where they could do their best damage.
See, that's a good shark story, Eric. Thank you.
Yes.
That's good. Now we're loading on shark stories.
That's good.
Al,
all right.
There's always tomorrow morning with Hardy and Hurley because I don't know what the hell else we're going to talk
about. But we're not in tomorrow, so we are going to do fake promos next.
Fake promos coming up next.
The gift.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
You can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, time for today's takeaways brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life. The official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox. Well, today's takeaways has a new logo. I just noticed. That's nice. Clean. Fresh.
Oh, it is nice.
Looks nice.
Two things, though.
What's that?
Number one, before the tournament gets much further along, I want to say nicely done, Brendan Steele, who's playing in the British Open today. He's been on the Sports Hub Golf Club a couple of times already this year.
Is he related to Stage Steele?
I do not believe he is, but he's a good guy. You would like talk to him. He's a music, he digs music.
Nice.
I dig music. He's just like, he's not your prototypical PGA Tour pro. He is two strokes off the lead at the British Open. Leaders are at five under par. He is three under par.
Good for him.
Never won a major, but I talked to him last week on the show, and he said, yeah, I'd like to be the champion golfer of the year. I'm like, hell yeah. So he's a great first round from Brendan Steele. Also, Mike and Woburn pointed out, did you say that sharks lay their eggs and then go away, and they don't care for their young like whales do?
No.
Okay. Is it completely out of the question that you would have said sharks lay eggs?
I never even said a shark laid an egg, ever.
Okay.
Is it out of the question? Say they left the eggs there to die.
Okay. I'm just double check.
I said they swim with their young, like whales do. Pod. It's a pod.
Fake promo Thursday. Here we go.
Solak and Bertrand.
Put me in the water as that sea. I'll take care of myself. You don't think you could have beat off that shark?
I don't know. I understand what asked me, I would never beat the shark off.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You caught me in a crux there because I was thinking about something, and I heard you, and I was trying to process what you said, the question, and I knew what you said because I said I would never beat the shark off also.
Neither one of us knew what we said, though. And we knew what we said, but
I didn't realize
what we were saying.
People are dying out in the hallway.
Yeah, well, now we know.
And they're like, oh, you do that to the shark?
Now we know.
Jason Tim, Solak and Bertrand.
Go ahead, Zoe.
I wouldn't bring that in here.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah. Thank you.
Two times.
You're right.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Napoleon Dynamite, Dan Shaughnessy, trying to smuggle Pedro's tots. You're done with those tots?
He came in with a handful of grapes, day one in the news studio, don't eat in here. And then an hour later came in with a Diet Dr. Pepper and a cup of ice. Two open containers. Like, Dan, no. Yeah. You have Zolak calling you out for studio etiquette.
I am, for crying out loud. I'm keeping it clean in here, boy. This is nice.
Jason Tim, Solak and Bertrand.
A giant black sarcophagus, the likes of which has been found deep within the ground in Egypt.
How do you get something that big down deep?
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I also followed up was that's what she said after that. He cut that off.
Of course, but wouldn't it be more impressive if it got up on a mountain? It's something that big. You dig a hole, you drop it in. What's the big deal?
You still got to remove the dirt to get the massive 30-foot sarcophagus, which is all marble, down inside a tunnel, which makes no sense.
Longer muscles are stronger than just bigger muscles?
Protein.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That was your answer. But talking about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He said he's stronger now.
We didn't get to today, and I'm upset about that, because Maz yesterday was incessantly fat-shaming Brady. Calling him fat, don't worry. Weight, drinking, and Felger at least came to his defense.
Hurley will come to his defense tomorrow for 4 hours if I let him. Hurley will take care of that for all.
Jason Tim, Solak and Bertrand.
So, he wouldn't play for Greg Popovich in the San Antonio Spurs. He wouldn't play for Greg Popovich in the San Antonio Spurs.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hardy threw a bottle of pills at me because I was looking at my phone.
And I was talking.
Because we were trying to fix some audio issues.
Did it work?
And I thank everybody for texting me that they didn't like the way something was sounding, and we fixed it. So
did it work?
It worked.
Yeah. Jason Tim, Solak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone levels, and we're just going to leave it at that. That's all. It's no big deal. You'll figure it out.
Yeah. Okay, Brandon Cooks.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Talking about Brian Windhorst. All right.
He's morphing into Pat.
Last fake promo of the week. Here we go.
Jason Tim, Solak and Bertrand.
Sport Toto.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Could you imagine Ken in real life to where you're his friend and he gets in the car and he's like, that's it.
One of our favorite colors. That guy. Gonna meet him.
You guys have a good weekend, everybody. We'll be back Monday, full Voltron.
Nah, I'm doing the morning show on Monday.
Oh, that's right. Fred has 8 weeks of vacation. That's right.
But I'll stick around for part of the